Let's call to order the Johnson County Hospital District meeting of June 2023. And this agenda starts with the public budget hearing. We'll address concerns from members of the public. Hearing none, we'll present the budget. Unless there are questions from the members of the media. There's a handout of 2024 budget assumptions. And
do you want me to put it up here?
Yes, that would be good.
Okay.
Do you have extras in the handout?
Do you want me to make copies for
that?
At our last meeting, we did go over most of these assumptions, I believe.
So the first, on this sheet, there's really only one change. Two changes, sorry. The amount for the county has changed, so that's been updated based on evaluation. And I did add this additional line down here to reflect the additional revenue that I put in there. That's for the SLIP grant funds for construction and then that tax credit that we talked about last month. And that'll show on the income statement. But those are the only two changes on this sheet so far.
Is there an extra zero?
Yep.
Isn't that actually 28 million?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cool.
I've looked over that a lot today, too. So on the income statement, I've highlighted the lines where I did make changes. So the first one would be in the deductions line. We worked through the cost report model with Mark Lyons and kind of looked at what the impact would be for the increased depreciation and then the
increased salaries.
So I did reduce that by about $500,000 from what you saw last month on that line. Nothing has really changed in here significantly. All of that should still be pretty close to what it was. Here I'm reflecting that increase for the mill levy. There is that 2.8 reflected. That one's correct. And we did go in and add interest expense. And then the last change is down here. That is including the construction as well to reflect where this, where the SLIP grant funds are going to hit.
So it doesn't show like the whole capital construction, but the part we wanted to more accurately correct, and Tom kind of caught it that. Our capital expense was kind of getting skewed, or like our overall cash flow was kind of getting skewed because of the increased grant funds we were receiving due to construction and those capital expenditures. And so we were showing this huge increase in cash, but we really had, you know, it's an offset to construction expense. And so, I think this kind of puts things a little bit more in line. That the capital expense really is going to be, you know, several million dollars with the overall construction project.
Will our debt service be zero?
No, but that one is
It will, because we won't have, we won't actually pay any principal down until the, till the 2 years of the draw schedule ends. So So we'll have the interest expense, not actually the principal payments.
I don't have anything else that has really been adjusted on this, unless you guys have more questions on this one.
You know, that net cash flow number is pretty nice, at $1.7 million. If that came to fruition, that's just extra cash in the checking account, or maybe you don't draw on the loan as much. Or,
I think the big thing with that, so with the depreciation, there's more depreciation on the front end. So once we actually close the loan and we have those payments, we're really going to want to work hard to build up our cash reserves, because the back half of the loan, and our loan's pretty short, but the back half of the loan, there's not going to be as much depreciation expense. And so oftentimes you get 12 years into a construction project and you kind of have this flip. Early on, your increased cash flow is above your debt service payments. But after you hit that 12-year mark, it actually flips. And so then you have to pull a couple $100,000 a year out of operations for that. And so if we plan that appropriately, we can build our cash reserves and have that money. Either, and we can handle a couple different ways, because we can prepay on the debt. So we can handle it that way, depending on what rates are doing and what we want to do. Or we can just build up that cash reserves to make sure we have that available. So, but we'll want to plan ahead accordingly for that.
The only other changes are on this one. I went in and adjusted the total on this first item. So some of that has gone into expense, and this will be the only part of that in capital. And then we've added some additional down here for the OR equipment, anticipating and estimating what that will be. So that's the updated capital budget.
And that's substantially higher than the usual average because of that bedside monitoring.
Yes.
Which is a big expense.
We also have, I think there's a lot of equipment in here that, the ultrasound machine for one, I think the machine we currently have is 12 plus years old, somewhere in there. And so with all the training Dr. Carlson's getting, wanting to have a designated machine in the clinic, we're looking at potentially upgrading the ER one as well. There's some potential for some grant funds, so we're kind of holding off on budgeting for that right now. But the Hemsley grant, which helped us buy our first manual machine, I think that's the only piece they've helped us get. I can't remember if they've done any. They do a lot for radiology equipment, but they just put out a survey this month for ultrasound. So I submitted stuff for both our mobile unit we use in the ER, but also our permanent floor unit we do a lot of the OB stuff with, and some more designated medic outpatient stuff. And so we'll see. It's kind of a waiting game to see what potential there is. But all of our equipment's kind of on the end of life spectrum, and so hopefully we'll be able to get some grant funds for those pieces of equipment.
Are we able to depreciate equipment?
Yes. It depends on the useful life. So I can't remember who came out with it. There's a healthcare depreciation book that goes through useful life for anything you can imagine in a healthcare setting. So all that radiology equipment, and so a lot of it's 7 to 12 years. But like I think our mobile ultrasound machine is probably beyond its useful life.
Is that what a lot of this stuff is? It's just replacement of older type equipment, or is it one of the new stuff?
Yeah, so the one ultrasound machine would be new because that's going to be in the clinic.
Bone density is also a replacement of an old one.
And that one's pretty much, I mean, it's like pretty much only Medicare, and so Medicare, it's not a high use piece of equipment, but Medicare should really pick up a lot of that depreciation cost and the cost of food. Then, yeah, a lot of it really is replacing. A lot of the OR stuff might be new with trying to get into ortho and expanding some of, you know, what we're doing through the OR and bringing in different surgeons. And so, you know, that there could be, I could foresee the potential for some additional requests, but we want to start and get some, you know, volume through there before we really open up the pocketbook, make sure we're building a continued relationship there.
Does anyone know what an easy one pro is?
That?
I think that has to do with a connection to the central station,
yeah.
Specific to cardiopulmonary.
Part of the monitor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Facility line. Mm-hmm. Any questions about?
In the case of replacement, is there a market for the older stuff? No. So
I would say not from what most of what we have.
Unfortunately, that monitoring is so expensive at the end of life. It works kind of Windows 10. And when any Windows 10 goes down, we're doomed. If we don't have that replaced, you know, we won't be able to monitor. Nobody will have it.
Kind of like, I mean, we upgraded our phone system and we were buying parts off eBay, phones off eBay. So I feel like we definitely try to take things past their useful life and really get the most out of it. And so.
That's all I have for budget.
So reviewing and approving operating and capital budget is pretty far down on the agenda. Is that separate from approving the budget?
No, we can do it now if you want to.
So we would entertain a motion to approve the 2024 budget, which includes the capital. Thank you.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? Budget does pass. Our chief of staff is not in attendance. Will report one thing that's somewhat along that line. There's a survey with the State Board of Health for our trauma system, which went very well. That was on the 26th, and we have been approved to upgrade our trauma designation from a trauma receiving hospital to a community trauma center, and that's one step up, and they'll send us some information for the media to notify our public about what that means. It really is, I think, reflecting that we do have surgery capability and some additional blood products available, and some trauma patients can be managed here in Buffalo. Not all have to be transferred out. And so Haley, our ER nurse manager, and several others worked very hard to get everything in order. That was an enjoyable survey, and they were very complimentary.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a huge thing for the community. I think it really shows that our emergency room is really striving to push the boundaries of excellence. So a level 3 facility, there's only one level two facility in the entire state, and that's Casper. We're a, as a community, one, we're not at the same designation as like a Sheridan, Gillette, Laramie, but it really does kind of set us apart from, you know, some of the other facilities, and really shows that, you know, we don't have all the capabilities those larger, like those health systems have, but that for a facility our size, we're pushing the boundaries for what we can manage here. And so I think that's really exciting to be able to promote that with the community. And I think we've been meeting those measures for a long time, and so the survey just kind of shows what we have been working hard for the last several years.
Well, let's move into leadership reports.
Are we approving minutes?
I'll second.
I guess that would be a good thing to do. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Thank you.
Okay, Laurie, would you like to make any comments about the leadership reports?
No, I don't have anything to add. I mean, other than to say that we got that new phone system, and we're having a few issues along the way, but hopefully they're getting resolved eventually. And we didn't have any occasion down at the south end, but I think it's down there now, so hopefully things go better.
Questions for Lori? Thank you. Mary Litzel?
I didn't really have much, and I don't really have anything to have. Any questions? Or if you just had a word.
What about move-in date? Have you had to move into that yet?
I sort of am quitting after.
Eight weeks.
They're redoing the bathrooms, and they're waiting for some materials for that. They got new lighting in there that are sort of like this lighting and really brighten that hallway up. It's much nicer.
Mm-hmm.
We have our new chairs and couches and bedside tables and all that ready to move in. We're ready. We're all ready.
Yeah. We're going to have another open house.
I feel like, I mean, when we had the open house, it's like we're gonna be moving in here really soon. We won't have our furniture, and now it's, I mean, it's been. I think it was like shortly after that is when the HVAC unit caught fire, and then shortly after that we figured out the sink issue, and it's like so soon.
I get why you're not asking now.
The HVAC is ready. The bathrooms are only pulled back now. I said when all the material gets here, I'm going to take everybody from the other areas and say, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
There might be a possibility for us to start moving some stuff over, I would think, when they start getting into the bathrooms, but
we'll see. Any supportive comments for Mary? Thank you. Brenda, what's new?
I think I had mentioned that we have several young people, high school, college students, currently taking the CNA class, and I'm going to start asking where they saw this advertised, so we know kind of where we're reaching people. But one came in and said, my best friend works here and she loves it. I want an application. I thought, that is music to my ears. I like that.
You forgot to mention that it's Amy Holt Care Center Week.
You got Amy Holt Staff Appreciation Week.
And you got WAC today.
Lots of good food and fun. Games and gambling.
Well, you look like you tolerated the whacking pretty well.
Yeah, it kind of messed up my hair, but you know, this doesn't just happen.
Any questions from Brenda? All right, Miranda, you get to sum it up.
Okay. The only thing I had to add to my report that
is newly transpired is our one of our lead nurses, Nikki Stenson, has taken a teaching job over at Sheridan College. So she's going to be leaving us in 3 weeks. And so we have that opening posted right now. So it's a really awesome opportunity for her. She's wanted to do this for a long time. So I'm excited, but also a little sad.
Is she going to try to steer some of those grads this way?
That was the only reason I said, you can go do this, but you have to provide some kickback in some kind of way. She's going to remain PRN. I think that's part of their teaching requirement. So she wants to help out in the summers and weekends and holidays, those kinds of things. So she'll still be around.
We've had pretty good success with that. I feel like Josh did a great job of helping us identify
some good people.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that our staff are moving up in the career world and helping to bring more into the fold.
Do you have any applicants? Have you posted it yet?
Yeah, it was posted yesterday, the day before. There's one so far.
When did you post it? Like on Indeed or something?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you limit it like geographically when you do that or no?
That's a great question. I don't do the posting. Melissa and Dale kind of do that collectively, I believe. So.
I don't think we do. I mean, our new lab manager is from Alaska, and so she'll be starting August, but yeah. People normally kind of search by regionally or things like that too, I think. So
confined to the Western Hemisphere. Well, thank you. Any questions for Miranda? That concludes our leadership reports. We're now ready for our CEO.
Well, I feel like we're, like Mary said, it seems like we just had a meeting, and also seems like there's been a lot of stuff going on over the last month. We talked about the trauma designation, but the Black Hills Ortho did their first case this month as well. I think it went really well. Both the staff and the surgeon were really, really excited for how well the procedure went, and they're continuing to get more stuff scheduled as we speak. So and I feel like they've really kind of their presence in the clinic. It seems like we're definitely having the surgeons on site more frequently over the last month, wouldn't you say, Miranda? There's been a lot of stuff going on with construction. I think one of the biggest things impacting staff now is the clinic parking lot renovation. So they started last Thursday, and I think they got like the whole thing almost demoed in a day. And so we have parking spots for our staff. They're parking either at the Jehovah's Witness Church or Calvary Chapel. And so it's been great for both of them to work with us and open their parking spaces for. And so I think for the most part, staff has about a 10-minute walk if they park. It's like the longest distance walk that you could possibly have for the additional parking. But it's nice to be able to provide some options for staff versus just flooding the neighborhoods kind of surrounding the hospital. The inpatient space, we talked a little bit about the bathroom issue. The HVAC unit is fixed, so the manufacturer decided after all the photos and stuff, they didn't come up to do the warranty, but are honoring the warranty except for the seal, which was like the biggest issue. And then the GW, who's the one who started the fire, is picking up the warranty for that piece. And so, the unit's running. They did their first round of tests and balance. They have to get some sweeps and some stuff for the negative pressure rooms to make sure that they're actually sealed and we have that full negative pressure capacity. So that's really the only thing that came up with tests and balance. And I think this week the ICU rooms are supposed to have their solution fixed, and then the other two rooms are should be shortly behind. So we're making progress. Our maintenance crew went through the inpatient space to do a punch list and make sure that, you know, the ceiling tiles aren't damaged or things like that. And so I think they're getting started later this week, really doing another run through punch list. We did one a couple of months ago, but before we move in, just wanting to make sure with all the additional work that's been done that we're getting the polished product at the end. The clinic is, it's crazy how fast they seem to be moving with the clinic. They took cardio rehab, cardiopulmonary rehab, so we relocated them to the other half of the conference room last week. And they have, I mean, the setup seems to be working pretty good for them. They got, I think, all their equipment in there. It does, you know, give us a little bit less meeting room space, and so we're getting creative with where to have meetings and things like that. But it's exciting to see they got, you know, all of that demoed in the last week, and it's, you know, continuing moving really quick over there. And then once they got the power line buried, it's the therapy clinic's moving pretty quick. I don't know if, depending on what direction you came in, but they were getting it all enclosed today. I think they, you know, the roofers have been here, and so they're making a lot of progress. I think pretty much done with the framing, and the plumbers were over there when I was, we had our meeting yesterday, so. So hopefully they'll kind of catch up to where the clinic is now in a fairly quick manner. And then we continue to do the planning for phase three. We've had a lot of, I would say, conflict with what we talked about in our design meetings versus what actually went to the final prints. And so phase two, we went through this huge effort learning lessons from phase one. I think we talked about this maybe even last month. We probably changed 70-80% of the cabinets in the plan, kind of through the whole space. I think every room got a change in cabinet layout. We ended up saving over $100,000 through that effort, so it was, I think, definitely worth it. It helps us get the actual product that we're wanting to, which I think is was the main goal of that effort. And so while we're waiting for the mechanical plans to get finished for phase three, we're going to go through a similar effort and do the page trim before it goes out to bid this time. I think it'll, that's kind of what I've been used to in the past, and I think everyone's tired of kind of these frustrating conversations back and forth, and so we'll hopefully catch those things sooner this time through. I had a Sheridan, the hospital in Sheridan reached out to me about our agreement with the radiologists and want us to change. So I think when Sean was here, there was a shift in that agreement, and we started employing the radiologists in kind of a part-time capacity. They're eligible for some of our benefits and things like that, but they currently work directly for us. And so we're working through kind of the details of what that would look like. I think in all the conversations I've had with the radiologists, you know, we want to continue to work with them. I don't want to put them in a bad position, because Sheridan definitely is their main employer, and so trying to come up with a solution. So I did reach out just to kind of see how, you know, other companies structure their agreements and things like that. And for the most part, they bill their professional fees. So that's the direction I'm going to look at going. If Sheridan wants us to kind of pull back from that relationship, that they kind of take some of that billing on, it's from a cost support standpoint, it actually should be kind of beneficial for us. It takes the burden of the billing off of our staff and, you know, and that need to collect and those kind of things. It puts that burden on Sheridan. But it's kind of the industry standard for how those, you know, contracts are normally structured. So I don't have anything definitive, but that's kind of the direction that one of the options that Sheridan talked to me about when I talked to them. And so that's kind of the direction we'll probably look at pushing.
What is it about Sheridan Hospital that it matters to them?
I can't really get a good answer in talking to the radiologist. They don't really fully understand it either. I think everyone kind of hoped they'd drop it, and they really haven't. Although now it's probably been a couple weeks since I've heard from them, but I don't really fully understand it, to be completely honest with you. There's normally not a lot of money in the professional fee that essentially covers your provider cost, which right now we're incurring. They put them on an RVU model, and so they're not like have these huge salary guarantees or anything like that, and so they're not paying them for the work they're doing for us. And, you know, we had put them in an RVU model, so essentially it was working, I think, pretty well for everybody. So I don't really have a great understanding of why they wanted to change. But what they've told me is, well, they're reading for you when they're here, and we don't feel like that's right. So when they're in our hospital, they should be doing work for us. And so I do have some concerns long-term what that looks like, but talking to both Dr. Taylor and Conda, they don't think there's like an ulterior motive or anything like that our coverage should change. But we can't fully figure out what angle they're trying to tackle it with. We've been doing a lot of having several meetings with Amy Holt Care Center on kind of where we can make some changes. Brenda talked about we'll be down to 2 travelers starting next month, which will be huge. Hopefully we can continue to get an additional staff, and even hopefully some of these high school students will pick up some nights, weekends type things, kind of moving forward to help help us kind of stay. I think when I first started, we were really good staffed, and then September hit, all the high school, college staff had to go back to school, and so we'll continue to recruit, and hopefully we can avoid having the huge traveler hit that we've had this last year. And then Senior Life Solutions is something we talked about. I've had some follow-up meetings trying to figure out the billing aspect of it. So we got word from the state that we could do it as long as it's an outpatient service of a nursing home and not of the hospital. And I don't know how you bill for that. So we talked to, I had a meeting earlier today with Phil, who does our charge master review and kind of is kind of our go-to for those billing questions. He can't figure out how you were supposed to bill that. So I'm going to go back to the state and try to figure out what that looks like. I did talk to our rep from Senior Life Solutions, who's been just really great to work with, and he has talked about, potentially they could office up there and use a conference room over in the hospital, so we're not actually taking patients back and forth through there, or there might be some potential for us to find some creative solutions, which would still allow us to kind of capitalize some of that cost report. So I think that's kind of an ongoing thing. Worst case scenario, I think there's going to be some space opening up in the hospital here soon. And so I think there's potential we could look at opening that service line up first quarter of next year. And it's going to take, 5 months probably once we sign an agreement for us to actually be able to move forward with that anyway, with credentialing and onboarding, and they got to hire staff for it and things like that. So it's going to be a process, but want to make sure we don't have staff ready to work and we don't have a spot for them to go. And it seems like through our facility right now, we're losing more and more space, like conference rooms and things like that. So eventually we're going to kind of be on the flip side of that, but we got to get some stuff opened up to actually make that a possibility. We've been negotiating that Vets Home agreement. I think I had said several months ago that we had gotten the contract, both for therapy and for the medical staff portion. And through the different contract negotiations, there was a piece that was supposed to become taken out, and it got flagged when it went through. It didn't get taken out, got flagged when it went to review in Cheyenne. I got an email not asking if we could take that out, but just flat out terminating the agreement. We're trying to, figure that piece out. It's kind of been an interesting ordeal, just kind of walking through the negotiations with them as well. Especially, just their time frame seems to be changing. They've really struggled to get staff in and things like that. And so, but it also presents some challenges for us too, as far as like who can go. That we've learned some interesting concepts with the ability to send mid-level coverage for like skilled services, and with wanting to kind of grow our outpatient or like our walk-in clinic, and we have several things we're trying to push in the clinic as well, and so it's kind of become cumbersome. So for kind of both, so we'll work with them in the future. Just want to make sure it was kind of, there were elements of that were kind of turning out where it might become a financial loser for us, depending on what they want coverage-wise and things like that. I just want to make sure, you know, we're not entering agreements and taking all these resources out from serving our main function as an organization. But I think, you know, we definitely had an improved relationship there, and we're going to try to maintain that to the best of our abilities.
So are we no longer trying to get that contract, or are we out?
Well, I don't. They have to put it back up to bid now. So.
And will we try to get it again, or what do you think?
I think we've had some discussion on it. I think it'll depend on, you know, what that proposal, like what they put out again. I think last time we actually got the application like 2 hours before it was due. So it was like a real quick, let's try to, you know, cover ourselves. And so I think this time we'll actually have a lot more time to kind of really put a better effort forward and try to figure out what that looks like and whether or not it's going to make sense for us. So. We had a demo with Meditech, which is a different EMR, last Thursday, and got pretty favorable feedback. It was a pretty condensed one-day, high-level look at the system, and so they looked nursing services, and I did a provider demo and financial demo, and so are going to look at bringing them back out for a much longer. I think they do like a three full day, really deep dive into it. There's a lot of things that kind of came up in discussions that we've had since they were here about just efficiencies through, especially with navigating the patients and getting everybody on one system, I think would be huge. One of the advantages with Meditech is they don't have the huge upfront implementation costs. I think we got a quote for Epic, and it was like $2.5 million just for implementation, and then a really high, you know, annual fee after that. And so we at least avoid the front end. We want to get a decent system. But Dr. Carlson actually was emailing Miranda earlier this week and said that he used that at one of his rural facilities that he said was probably the most like we are as a facility, and said that was by far the best system that he used in his rural rotations. So he said Epic really is gold standard, but besides that, this was the best. Meditech was the best one he used through all his training. So just going to continue to kind of pursue that. It's going to be a while before we, you know, probably even get them out and make a decision, and implementation is going to be down the road. But I think just trying to come up with what's that, you know, end goal for us and getting a better system. I know the care center was some of the stuff where there was getting pretty giddy about how much time it would save them and the efficiencies it would bring to their workflows, especially with MDSs. And there's continued demands for MDSs, and our system is just not really staying up to date with that and putting a larger burden on our staff, which makes efficiencies hard and things like that. And I know home health is the same way. So the Meditech product we would get, they have home health, they have nursing home, they have therapy as like special modules for those systems, and I think would really help efficiencies through the whole. I know like home health is still paper charting, and so that just, you know, there's certain things that they're writing on three different forms, and it would just be auto-populated through there. So, Lori talked about the phone system. We did start trialing a digital receptionist. So, like the, we don't really have anybody internally that just is an operator to really designate phone calls, and so. There's definitely been times where we've had people in the lobby and a receptionist on the phone with nobody there trying to, you know, and a couple people on hold. And so trying to figure out the best way to navigate that without adding an additional staff member. And so, but, you know, if we can even get some of the call volume off of there, I think it's going to be helpful. We met today to try to really tweak the way that we're navigating those calls, trying to make it easier. I think we started with 9 flat options across the board and trying to really help people get the direction they want to go faster. So we're going to keep it to like less than 4 options and helping people navigate it a little bit easier. So we'll have like a clinical path and a administrative path, and then help people get to the departments they want to in a more efficient manner. So I know we've had some other issues with the phone system that's kind of maybe compounded, you know, some frustrations with this portion, with drop calls and things like that. And so we're hoping to get our internet speed, part of the contract with the new phone systems, our internet speed would, I think it doubles, doesn't it, Lori? Something like
that.
At least doubles.
Yeah.
And so we're right now our phones run through our internet system, and so we're hopeful that increasing the speed will help with some of those drop calls and some of those issues we've been having, and just really trying to get staff to, you know, let us know if there's issues going on so we can address them. And, you know, I think there's more and more of those conversations going on. So I think the system's getting better as we go, but it has not come without its faults. The last month we talked about that patient experience organization, and I had applied for a grant through the SLIB board, or not the SLIB board, through the SHIP board, and so we did get that awarded, and so I sent a contract with them. It covers the entire cost of that two-day travel or two-day event that they'll come on site and host. And so we got dates set in November. As we get meetings scheduled, I'll make sure we kind of get that out to you guys. There's definitely like a meeting, I think the first day with the meeting, the first or second day with the board, and really trying to talk about what we're trying to shoot for with creating Patient Experience Council, what we want the patient experience to be like when people come here, and what they're going to try to help us accomplish. And so but I'm really excited. It's, you know, there's a lot of those things that are, they seem pretty common sense, but when you try to build all those tools out, it can get kind of overwhelming. And so I think it'll be that timing, I think, will be great for them to get out in November. We also, with the new construction, we've had a ton of issues with our last signage company and getting signs. And I think we talked a little bit about that issue in the past. And so we're going to reach out to them on the exterior signage as well. I mean, it's kind of what this company does, that most of their market is healthcare, and trying to figure out with some of the sign replacements we're doing, with some of the new signs we have to put in, if there's anything different signage wise we want, you know, our exterior stuff to look at. And, you know, to me it doesn't make sense to put something in now if we know we might want to look at that in the future. And I think that from the street, that really helps just with that professionalism as a whole, getting some kind of updated products out there and stuff like that. I mean, that's what people see driving by and stuff like that. And so we'll get some renderings and stuff like that pulled together for you guys for approval. The signs in the parking lot when they did the demo, that they were all like concreted in 4 feet. The posts were like had 4 feet of concrete, so they were pretty much destroyed and have to get thrown away anyway. So it seems like a good time of kind of looking at what we put back in those locations as well. And then Dale's been working on updating our referral bonus program. We've had one in place. Historically, we haven't got a lot of traction with it. It's something that I think has kind of fallen off, and so are looking at reviving that program. Like Brenda said, you know, having staff that really is speaking positively and trying to get people in and trying to, you know, create that excitement for staff to bring in good employees, people that they know, I think is going to be really good. So, you know, I think in the long run of things, it's kind of a small cost to the organization as a whole, but I think really helps us build the quality of employee that we want to bring into our facility and reward our employees that are willing to go out and recommend, you know, to their friends to come in and work. So, so we put that policy in place several months ago about capital product or projects when, you know, something breaks, giving us permission to move. So I gave permission to move on. We had two hot water heaters that went out that impact laundry and dietary. And so I gave permission for that to move, but we got the invoices for that, and it was $60,000, not $50,000. So I told Becky today, I was like, well, of course, the first one that I
pushed through this way is over my limit. So I do apologize for that. But just wanted you guys to be aware of that. There's not a lot we can do without hot water in those areas. But and that's all I have. Unless anybody has any questions.
Do you want to run through that all one more time?
Sure. Do it again.
Any questions for Luke? I was trying to, we were talking about Senior Life Solutions, and then we were talking about a contract that expired and has to be done over again. And is it through that organization, or was that a different
contract? No, the contract was through the VA contract. To do the medical services for the skilled nursing facility.
Does Plan 1 show up every once in a while to like monitor?
When they were doing the Vet Zone project, they were here a lot more consistently than they have been since then. It's been about once a month, roughly, is kind of what they've been doing the last couple of months.
But there is like some construction monitoring going on maybe between the architect.
Yeah, and I mean, we have meetings every week, and there's definitely a ton of communication going back and forth on the project. So
overall, what do you think? I mean, do you feel like overall they've done a pretty good job?
Yeah, I think the big thing has been when you go from like the floor plan and the meetings with staff, and we kind of approve, yes, this is what we want, and then they take it through design development. There's been a bunch of changes made and cabinets added, and I feel like I've really repeated we want a really nice facility, but we don't need like the Taj Mahal. It doesn't need to be overly fancy. And then they go put in additional cost and things that I don't, you know, like wood ceilings down the hallway and some of those kind of things. Those parts have been really frustrating for me because I feel like I've been pretty clear in my expectations and my communication. And like one of the things we saved money on, we saved over $3,000 by pulling out five. I think it was like two whiteboards and three tack boards, which, I mean, that's a lot. That's like $600 a piece. And I was like, we can buy those for like $25 a piece. and so it's just like, it's those little things that to me is just like, you know, like I feel like they're not listening to, you know, all the things that we've been, you know, I've been repeatedly asking them though. And I think there's been some friction kind of from their side a little bit as well too. There's a lot of things that were not designed appropriately. We had some desks designed in the inpatient spaces, and they did them countertop heights, which means we had to have stools. And I felt like it was a patient safety issue to have, you know, people on stools if they were, you know, had fall risks and things like that already. And so I made them pay to drop the sinks down to desk height, which was how we had talked about through our design meetings. And there's been some tension from them because I've made them own cost, which is not normally typical for architects to do because of the lack of communication or them not doing the design to the meetings we had. And so, you know, they're going to eat quite a bit of cost from the first project, which is first phase, which is not very typical for architects to do that. And I think there's that's I guess some of my concern with the board. I think there's some tension there that's kind of been voiced over the last month. So
what about this drainage issue in the basement and this big sinkhole drain thing that got installed?
So that was always part of the design. Is they had a drip pan drain system that was always part of the first phase of construction. So it's not like they identified an issue and then added that piece. That was always part of it. And just with the phasing, it hadn't got done yet. That got installed a couple weeks ago. I think it's going to, once they get the sloping and all those things, you know, that part's all warranted. So if we continue to see some issues, but talking to the engineers and architects and Plan 1, everyone's pretty convinced once we have that, now that that's in place, we're not going to continue to have issues with that. So
But we were getting, and there was a spot where there was some damage to the wall when they backfilled the basement wall, and so they had to dig that back out and repatch that with like the sealant, and so all that work has been done now. So I don't think we're gonna have ongoing issues there, but you know, that was.
Can you remind me what phase three is?
Phase three is going to be the rest of the inpatient space, the one where we're currently serving people, and then also redoing the, so it'll do the OB rooms, it'll do the current nurse station, and kind of that corridor we currently are utilizing. And it also does the, over in the clinic where we have the reception and waiting room and those offices. So that all turns into additional exam rooms and offices.
Does the physical therapy department just become part of that?
So the physical therapy department, we don't have like a solidified game plan, but I think I'm pretty convinced there's a lot of, I think, ideas floating around for what we can do with the space we're freeing up. You know, looking at what place in machine potentially or some different things like that. So we might have some staff either moving into that. We could use a specialty clinic depending on how much you know, those traveling providers grow. So there's a lot of things we've kind of floated around with how to utilize that space, but I think we need to get through a little bit more and have some proof of concept before we really solidify one of those options. So.
All right, well, thanks for lots of information. Next on our agenda is the credentialing. I don't know what you need. Four members of the shared orthopedic staff currently have privileges here. And then four additional teleneurology staff who are part of Blue Sky Neurology out of Colorado is serving primarily our emergency room referral for stroke.
Those additional ones are still processing, so you won't have to approve them. It's just the Sheridan Orthos.
Well, that's a relief. I don't think Dr. Milner's been coming to Buffalo, but Quinn Zabrowski and Lehman do clinics here and an occasional procedure.
Does Zabrowski ever come? I've never met Zabrowski.
I don't think he comes either. But neither one of them resigned privileges. They still wanted reappointed.
So someday, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, it's Steiner who comes down, not Zabrowski.
Yeah.
Well, unless there are any questions about their privileging, we can entertain a motion for their reappointment.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded to approve credentialing for reappointment for those members of Sheridan Orthopedics. Those in favor say aye.
Okay.
That passes. So we have some potential staffing issues that have come up, and I'll let someone else who knows about it present that.
I'll walk you through it. So the first one's the PRN mid-level coverage you'll see on the agenda. Luke and I have talked about this for several months, but if you recall last month where we had multiple providers out and our numbers were down, our thought is if we were able to just bring on a PRN mid-level to cover some vacations, potentially help with our walk-in clinic when that becomes open, and just have that availability for a person to fill in as needed. It's beneficial for us because we can have that person in our back pocket without a lot of You know, we're not paying for certain things that come with a full-time person, so I think it'd be beneficial for the clinic to have that a person in place.
There's a couple people that have kind of expressed interest as well, and which kind of got us thinking that, you know, potentially could be good fits.
Yeah.
How much do you schedule on?
Since we schedule 3 months in advance, we can look ahead and say, gosh, today only have 3 providers in the clinic. So what happens now is our normal physicians are shifted to acute care, and that takes their normal clinic time away to see their normal patients and the primary care end of things. So we can look in advance, and then you queue them up in 3 months. Hey, we have 2 doctors on vacation. Would you be available Monday, Wednesday, Friday that week to help cover? So since our schedule is so far in advance, I think it's pretty easy. You always run the risk because they're PRN, they don't have to work for us, but so you do run that risk, but at the same rate, I think giving that enough leeway there to get them locked in to come over would be great.
I think it, especially with, you know, the looking at the walk-in clinic and not quite knowing exactly what that volume is going to look like, having somebody that could maybe help fill a void until, you know, if we would have to bring somebody else in a more permanent manner, could help fill the void rather than us pulling our providers, you know, out of their clinic day. So it just gives us some flexibility and options without committing much cost. You know, there's no cost if they don't work, and so it just kind of is, you know, one more tool in our belt in the long run. So.
Are you looking like an actual doctor or PA or
a mid-level? Yeah.
So mid-level would be like
PA and B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, somebody that would fit our group well, and okay. Hopefully somebody with a little experience, but more or less like that right fit for our group here.
Sure.
And they'd really just fall into that walk-in clinic, that, you know, acute clinic volume. They won't have a patient panel to see or anything like that, but they'll just help our other providers be able to free up.
So is that kind of stuff in the next one, I'm assuming? I mean, we just approved that budget. Is that expense incorporated into that budget, or how does that work?
So there
flexibility in there? Or?
Yeah, so, I mean, when we would use them, it's hard to budget for something if we don't know how many days a year we'd really have to use them. I don't see it being like a ton, you know, maybe a handful of days a year really. So it, you know, there's not like a, it's not like we have this huge demand. But if we would have, let's say our walk-in clinic does get slammed, it takes time to get a provider in and credentialed and through payer enrollment and all that stuff. So if that does happen, you know, there'd be the revenue that follows suit, and then we'd come talk to you guys about maybe using that position more frequently. But we're not planning like 30 days a year or, you know, next year for using them or anything like that. So.
So you've had some people approach you?
Approach some of our staff.
Potential work opportunities, part-time?
Mm-hmm. PRN, part-time, experienced providers, and providers that have worked closely with some of our staff here that they know and speak highly of. So.
What do the physicians think? Do
you
like it? Can we talk to them?
Oh, yeah. We're going to ask you guys first. just in casual conversation with them, they think it's a great idea. I mean, even they're kind of, now that the big group is out back from vacation, they're trying to get their patients in and stuff. But when they're pulled away to acute, they're really feeling the strain of that. And when you want to get a patient in quicker, being out of acute care will help free up their schedules. So.
Yeah. This summer is probably like the busiest time where we have, you know, a lot of providers wanting to get out, go on vacation with the family. Most of our providers are going to have young families and want to enjoy that time with them. And, you know, and so this just gives us the ability to kind of say yes and let them get away and not have as much strain on the ones who are here as well. So.
Anything else?
Well, I think we got our questions answered on that. Let's move on to psych nurse practitioner.
Yeah, so this is something that's kind of just randomly popped up in the last like week where we've had, so there's a organization that helps WAMI students find placement throughout the state, and so they sent an email out with you know, individuals that are looking for placement, and there was a listing for a psych NP that's looking for placement in Buffalo or Sheridan, and I know the number one thing on our community health needs assessment was mental health services. So I brought it up Monday to our medical staff to kind of kick around the idea on, you know, what they thought about, you know, trying to bring somebody like that in. And everyone was like, we would have them busy instantly. You know, we had a pretty good presence at medical staff. And so it's another thing. It's not included in the budget because we, you know, we're really just kind of on the front end of this. You know, they won't be ready till this fall. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, if it'd be a good fit, if they'd be a good fit for us. I have reached out to Senior Life Solutions just from a supervision standpoint to figure out, you know, what would this look like? You know, it's definitely a specialty that's a little bit outside of, I mean, our family practice providers provide some of those services, but as far as, you know, really wanting to be the supervising provider over that, you know, especially for a new grad, is something that, you know, is a little bit scary. So if we're going to start this program, and I think I've said it before, but, you know, if we're going to grow on anything, we have to have quality at the forefront. And so with wanting to bring somebody in, making sure we have somebody that they can really go to ask questions, that they're not just kind of stranded on this island. And so I think the main question is, you know, and we'll probably have a more formal process, but, you know, is there, you know, just kind of permission from the board to kind of pursue, you know, this as an option and possibility for a clinic. So we don't think they would take up as much space, you know, as our providers do, but, you know, it's something that we're just going to have to continue to, you know, work through with that option presenting itself and just kind of seeing if there's anything there in the future. So
as it is right now, our providers are referring out to psychiatry for medication management for larger issues, and that can take anywhere from 2 to 3 months for a patient to get into Sheridan, which is the closest. So this person, a mid-level nurse practitioner, does medication management and specializes in that specific. Not saying we can take out all of it. There still may be referrals out, but it is I think it would be a pretty good resource for us to have. And nobody else in Buffalo is providing this. I mean, we've got a little bit of support through the VOA, but a lot of their stuff is telehealth, so it would have to be in-house here.
And I wonder if they would want to share this person, because there will be many of their patients that would be looking at medication oversight. I know they've had some kind of agreement, but I don't know how good that is or if they're getting all of those needs met.
I think that's something we can, you know, pursue, or the VOA could always refer to, you know, here as well. You know, so.
Well, I think it is an area that's underserved, and it would be worth looking into that just to try to see. Where they fit in and how we could increase the service availability.
So are you saying that the Vets Home deal, that you're still going to maybe try to take a run at that and get some kind of a contract with them?
Yeah, I don't think we've, like, you know, fully ruled out pursuing that, you know.
So this person would be someone that could go to Vets Home too.
Yeah, there could be some potential there. I think they chose the medical director that they did because they have some psych options through that facility. So, and I don't know. That's kind of the unknown piece, because just with how abrupt they canceled everything, if they actually have something in their back pocket. That's the part that I just don't know how. I mean, because to me it would have been pretty easy to send an email and say, hey, this is going to get this kicked out. Can we pull these, you know, can we talk through these parts, you know, to make sure this contract goes through? So I was pretty shocked with how the whole thing fell through. And part of it makes me feel like they might have something else in their back pocket.
Well, on current contract, though, because I know, like, it's helped with our ER visits and our, is that still going to maintain? So this is just the skills facility.
I think the long-run concern would be if they get somebody for the skilled nursing, they translate eventually? So I think our current contract goes through, is it 2024, 2025, something like that?
Yeah, Dr. Williams just renewed her medical director for the not that long ago, so we might have another year and a half.
Yeah, and we just did for the hospital as well over there, and so, you know, I've talked to Bruce a lot since I've been here, and Lisa, and you know the team there, and you know I think they really appreciate the relationship we've had with them, and so you know if we can you know continue to maintain that, I think it's a good thing for the residents they have up there as well, and it's just easier for us to provide that. You know, medical management, if we actually know the patients, if we have access to their records and those kind of things as well.
I don't think there's any possible way they can match the access that a group this size in town can offer.
Yeah.
They've had so little experience with providers that come from the VA system to serve the vets home that I don't see that changing.
Yeah. My only concern would be if they see like they're big enough now to just bring somebody in to just kind of mostly service them, or if they, you know, they bring somebody over for 2-3 days a week or something like that. But it's hard to know for sure. It just is the way the contract got canceled was a very interesting email to get on a Friday morning or something.
Well, I would be in favor of getting back to the nurse practitioner for mental health services. I would like to see us at least look into that a little more.
Okay.
I agree. Okay.
Yeah. And I think if we create that position, if we see that really as a need for the community and it doesn't work out like this, but we can always create that position. Like the ER provider, we looked for probably a year before, you know, we found Dr. Richardson found a good fit. It's not, so I don't think, if we feel that's a need, finding the right person, I think, is going to be essential. And, you know, if it's not this person, we can continue to pursue it until we find the person that's going to be a good fit long-term for our community. So.
Well, the next item will be financial performance. Piece of paper's been taken off the wall. It's small.
I put a little small one there. I tried to color it as close as I could. That's what I have to work with.
Appreciate
it.
I'm going to be an outlet for the smart TV.
Yeah.
Okay, so May's gross patient revenue came in at $2.9 million. Still just slightly behind budget on revenue. Deductions were down from budget, fairly close, but they are down from where those were anticipated for the month. Some of that is still in the cleanup that we've been doing with Mark Lyons. Expenses, pretty close to where we've been, just slightly over. For the month, we finished at $119,000 loss. Year-to-date, gross patient revenue continues to stay under where we budgeted. Looking at the income statement, it's actually pretty close, slightly above where we were this time last year. Other operating revenue is up from budget. I looked at that, and I can't remember exactly what that is that has that so much higher than budget. Expenses were came really close to where that mark was at. So we're looking at $329,000 loss for the year. Stats. They all look really good again for May. Year-to-date still looks really good. There's only a couple places where our numbers are down. That's ER, clinic. They aren't really that far down. Looking at this one, our AR looks real similar to where we were in April. Days cash on hand really did not move a whole lot at all. And then cash for June. Big part of that is the lump sum payment that we got from Medicare. That'll be booked in June. And then income statement, really pretty easy. So gross patient revenue here, year to date, and then this is last year, this time. So we're 605,000 higher than where we were last year. I really don't have anything outstanding that we haven't already been talking about for the year, unless you guys have questions on anything in there.
I was curious just on the number of like home health and the hospice. It's amazing to me how it's increased so much. Yeah, on the stats. And it just seems like a couple of 2 years ago we dropped out of the cliff and we had all this competition in town from this chilled outfit. And we're like, oh, we're here. We're considering taking a hard look at it. And it's really, it's material. Mm-hmm. What's behind that? You know?
I think there's been some struggles with the other competition in town. I think when I started, it was like us and two other companies, and I think we're kind of the only ones left.
That's Sharon's.
I think they're all gone.
They
are. I don't hear a whole lot of that.
So I know we had the Springfield surgery, and he scheduled some more. Is that correct? Has any of the other physicians over there got anything on the
book? So I talked to Maureen last week, and she expressed some interest in getting some cases scheduled. And, so there's some equipment requests that I actually got from Tammy yesterday. And so InReach was actually digging through, talking to the rep about maybe some ways of saving some money with that initial quote that we got. And so it's... The initial one was like 81,000. I think there's potential for us to get that down, but it's really getting some drills and saws that they use for a lot of their procedures moving forward. And we borrowed one from Stryker for the last surgery, but that's the conversation with them is that this is equipment we use with a lot of our cases. Stryker's a brand that almost anybody's going to be able to come in, and that's going to be somebody that they know, and you'd have to get somebody really picky to not want to use a Stryker product. I'm sure those people exist.
I like the Milwaukee tools.
Yeah.
A lot more reasonable.
It's true. They are a lot more reasonable.
Really all I have. I don't have it on here, but Tom, you had asked about the capital items last month. I did highlight those in your packet explaining what those ones are that are outstanding. So I think that should be cleaned up at this point also.
Any other questions for Becky on the financial performance? All right, thank you. So it looks as though we need to discuss some amendments to our parking situation for the clinic.
Yeah, so I gave a diagram with the updated kind of plan. And so the areas that are changing is the far north part, which is north part on the paper. There's an additional, oh gosh,
12 or so.
Yeah. So those are all new and included. There was the drive on that side, and essentially all we did was just kick it out another 15 feet or whatever to provide, you know, parking there. And then the work over behind the house that we purchased on the corner. We pick up close to 20 additional parking spots. Some of that's required for us to rezone the house. But I think when we have them here doing the work already, it's going to be a lot cheaper for that all to be done now versus, you know, pour the curb and then in the future try to tear that out to expand it or things like that. This essentially is going to maximize, I think, the space we have on the north side of the building as far as maximizing parking there. I don't think there's going to be any way for us to really get additional. The northeast part of that, they're going to do a rollover curb so our maintenance guys can still push all the snow removal off the curb over there and things like that. But so the increased cost is just under $97,000. And so it's definitely a pretty good increase. But I think some of that is going to be required for us to do. You know, I've been getting complaints, you know, about parking. And people have talked about that being an issue long before we started construction, that just for years our employees have had to park on the street and park in front of houses. And so I think there's an element of being good neighbors to the people that are surrounding the hospital as well and ensuring that we have adequate parking inside, you know, for the people that are, you know, working here and then our patients as well. And, you know, with all the work, you know, I wish it didn't all go back into the project, but all the work we did, you know, pulling cost out of phase two, you know, more than covers the cost for the parking lot. So at least it's kind of an offset cost versus, you know, complete additional cost. So we'll still save close to $20,000, you know, even with, you know, approving this parking lot. Which probably is the cost we just paid to have those streets taken off.
Do you know, it seemed like when I was on the golf course board, we were doing some improvement, and behind these houses, behind this house of Leon, where actually probably be where these parking spaces are, There was a right-of-way that was owned by the city, because there's supposed to be like an alley. Mm-hmm. That entire way, and I don't know if that alleyway in the city extends down this far, but I was just curious if we have to get approval for that parking from them, if that, in fact, that is a city Buffalo right-of-way for a potential alley.
I'll have to look into that one. So when we went to the zoning board to look at parking, Terry AC said that we had to put the parking in, or requested we put the parking front of the house, and I made the suggestion just for street appeal and to our neighbors that we actually put it in the back of the house. It just makes it seem more like a house and fit the neighborhood a little bit better. And so they actually were really in favor of that as an option, but it's at least worth asking the question, I guess, before just to make sure that there's no issue there. So.
Well, and the driveway into the clinic right now, is that going to be gone?
The driveway into the...
Like that, right on the south of the house?
That'll stay.
It'll stay. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll still have that entrance over there. The big thing will be we'll just really shift kind of probably employees to the south side, which is where the entrance is, because it'll turn into more of an employee entrance. So our provider parking and stuff like that will probably shift down that way and open up the patient parking and some of the employee parking in the lot. So.
Will this primarily be patient/employee?
Yeah, right now, I mean, we have a small lot right now that we've used for employees, and then the bigger lot closer to the entrance has been for patients. So I think what we could do is look at designating certain spots for employees you know, I've seen that done other places with putting like a red dot or things like that to say like, hey, here's our employee parking, and then we can kind of pick what spots are available for employees and what's, and then leaving the, you know, those front spots for patients. And the other thing is, you know, right now therapy patients are parking in here as well, and they'll be parking on the south side, so we'll be expanding, you know, parking over there as well, and so there'll kind of be a bit of a shift for, you know, what side of the building, because home health parks on the south side, so they'll be moving up here, so it's kind of be a little bit of flop for those parking requirements.
So the parking areas on the west side of the house are new, and they're included in the 96,000.
Yep.
In addition to the ones on the north end adjacent to,
yep,
the golf course.
There's also, it's a little bit hard to see, but there was like some wood sidewalks going to the house in the backyard, and they had like a little patio. And we're going to convert those to concrete just for snow removal and ease in the winter for our maintenance team and stuff like that. So that will all get pulled out and converted over to concrete, you know, making it easier for staff to get back into the building. And part of the zoning, even through the state fire marshal and the conversation I had with him, was that we would do any ADA services in the hospital property versus in the house. And so if they have to meet with a family and somebody's in a wheelchair or things like that, the staff will come over and use one of the conference room over in the hospital. So the, you know, I don't think that happens often, but we'll have staff kind of coming back and forth to the hospital property. So wanting to just provide, you know, a safe place for them to come back and forth.
What are these little white circles on this drawing?
That's a great question.
From here. They don't seem to have any.
I don't know. They're to play dot to dot.
Yeah. I mean, they're even in the building, so it's kind of a. Seems kind of random.
Well, I don't know if anyone is opposed to having more parking. It seems like a fairly essential part of the operation.
Yeah, well, I mean, preferably I'll sign a contract tomorrow for that much money. Having minutes to lean back on.
Over and above what we've already planned on
and approved. So, yeah. I mean, it's not fully, and that's where, like, it's kind of like that gray area. We saved that money, but, you know, I thought it, with the dollar amount, I thought it was worth coming with you guys for approval. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll
make a motion to approve the parking lot construction pricing for the additional spot.
$96,781. Do you want to make that subject to no issue with that?
That's the alley in the
back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking that alley started here and just went on that block, but I don't know that for sure either.
Yeah, subject to your finding.
Yeah, I think it's maybe.
Because that golf course like property ends, you know. But it's at least worth checking. I can get an answer from Kelly.
Check that out.
That's
a report you plan to go.
Yeah, that's huge.
So there is a motion, and
it's been seconded.
Has been seconded. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And you'll get a designated parking spot in your name for making it. Well, that concludes the public session. We'll take a brief pause before we move into executive. Do we have a motion to go into executive?
I'll make the motion.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.